The Spirit and the Church cry out, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." There are two words that in the last month have popped up all over the place. You may see them on billboards. You will hear them in song. They may be printed in seasonal sentiments. You will see them on sweaters and sweatshirts as well. Just two words, question mark after each. Naughty or nice? We all know the origin of that conversation that occurs annually around this time of the year. It all goes back a couple generations to a popular song that spoke of someone paying attention, keeping a list, knowing exactly who's naughty or nice. And it seems to almost have become a campaign, a movement of sorts. I'm not sure for what purpose exactly. But at times, I think you've probably caught on the way I have that there are people trying to say that perhaps on occasion it's okay that naughty is nice. There's so many things about that conversation that might insulate us against God's viewpoint of these issues. And the simple reality that when we look at ourselves in the mirror of God's Word, we come to the realization that if somebody is actually keeping track and keeping score, lots of naughties pile up fast. The moments of nice, not so much. We're all capable of things that we'd rather not own. And songs like that and movements like that, so to speak, they easily distance us from what God really wants us to be thinking about at this time of the year as we prepare our hearts and our minds, our lives for meeting Christ once again. But when that conversation arises, it also sometimes turns our attention outward rather than inward to measure a little bit more intentionally the world in which we live. What's your perception? Is it a place that gets nicer by the day or naughtier? Are we living in a moment that concerns you in regard to all that goes on, all that you're hearing and seeing and wondering about, where it will all end, where it's all leading? The sons of Korah that teamed together to write the psalm that's in front of us each of these 3 weeks of our Advent Wednesdays together had no misgivings or misunderstandings at all in regard to what God intended for his people in regard to the law that he spoke through his word. And that was an honest understanding of what we truly deserve for what we've done. As we saw last week in our examination of the first three verses, they understood that they deserved, individually and as a nation, so much of what was coming their way. All that they had experienced in their exile and their challenges. But you and I know too well, don't we, that that's not a foreign thought to ourselves. When the challenges and unhappinesses of life turn their focus on us, a tough diagnosis, a financial setback, a pink slip, the ending of a relationship that was long cherished. These occurrences in life turn us inward in a way that can easily become the question. Is this a result of my own naughtiness? Is this due payback? What I deserve? Is God making sure I have my moment of comeuppance? There was no doubt amongst the sons of Korah that that is what was happening in their moment in history. And so they continue in their psalm, "Restore us, O God, who saves us. Put an end to your indignation with us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you extend your anger through all generations? Will you not turn and revive us so that your people may rejoice in you?" And then particularly our focus verse, "Show us your mercy, O Lord, and give us your salvation." Their prayer here is for God's entirely just anger to be turned away from them. How could believers in the true God, who is perfectly just and holy, ask for such a thing? Is it not, in essence, asking him to violate his very own divine eternal essence, his righteousness, his fairness, his justice? When we rightly know that we deserve God's abandonment, say nothing of his discipline, it's important for us to wrestle with these issues, especially during Advent, as we contemplate our need to meet with God, our need for him to intervene, taking up our cause, in essence, against himself. But notice exactly what their request is. They do not even hint that God should excuse even one of their sins. Rather, what do they pray? That God would revive them with the result that they would rejoice in him. They're counting on God's gospel promises, as the people have throughout the ages who have believed in God. And they plead, "Save us, Lord, for your own glory." As we noted last week, God never left humanity wondering, uncertain of his willingness to forgive. Even in the very moments coming after the fall into sin, he spoke promises of forgiveness and love and the reversal of a curse. And so when we hear these words, "Save us, Lord, for your own glory," this is not a gimme, gimme, give me more prayer similar to a Christmas wish list. Not at all. This is a bold prayer that actually asks for a gift that will lead to giving back to the giver what is due him. It's ultimately calling on God to be who he is, who he has proclaimed and promised himself to be. Many call the season we have ventured into the annual season of hope. But hope is often misplaced and then quickly challenged. If you listen to the rhetoric of culture, even worldwide culture, in regard to this hope that we are supposed to embrace at this time of the year, it whispers of a historical sentiment that sooner or later, humanity has to get it together and understand that the answer is us. And somehow working ourselves towards a unity, a single-mindedness of purpose, where we can drop all of our differences with each other, whatever they may be, and collectively as one great entity work on these problems together, we will solve the dilemmas that have haunted humanity for millennia of history. The restoration we truly need can and will come from only one place. And it's the place that the sons of Korah point to here in our psalm. Will you, Lord, not turn and revive us so that your people may rejoice in you? You and I know, because of the human soul, mind, and heart living inside of us, that when God's word speaks to us and identifies the total depravity of our natural human state, that our answers are not ever going to be found somewhere deep within us as humans or collectively in the human race. In fact, the more we study it, the more we observe, the more history that flows across the pages of newspapers and the pages of websites, we have to come to the conclusion that our brokenness will only get more shattered. Our destruction will get only more complete. Oh, Lord, do we need to see your mercy. So show us your mercy, O Lord, and give us your salvation is an ideal Advent supplication, prayer to our Savior God. For we know the outcome of the story. We don't just know what Advent is all about, nor what the incarnation, Christmas, is all about. We know well the story of Lent and Holy Week and Easter and Ascension, and we know the promises of a God who has faithfully kept everything he laid out before his people from the oldest moments of the Old Testament. Living our new God-forgiven lives means living thoughtful, intentional repentance, which is always an appropriate Advent theme. But this is actually a part of the restoration picture anyone reading and praying this psalm is asking for. Our hope here, our plea, is that our God will work in us through his word a living repentance in response to his mercy that will do justice to the eternal salvation we will realize in heaven through his advent and all that it meant. Instead of being beaten down by our own sins or by the brokenness of our world, by the painful, burdening realities of our lives, our hopes turn to the immediate restoration that God's forgiveness brings to each of our relationships with him, but then equally to our relationships with one another today. God's turning away from his anger does not excuse any single one of our sins, any of our naughtiness, but rather pushes us to consider how nice God is. How nice he is to us, each and every one of us, in paying for our sins himself. Oh Lord, do we need to see your mercy this day, every day, for our own forgiveness, for our motivation to be merciful, to be nice every day of the year. Amen.